Seems like that would not, that couldn't happen. There we go. Pressing the wrong button. Anyway, we greet you this morning in Jesus' name. If you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Stephan read the verse this morning. Read the verse in Ephesians about being rooted in and grounded in love. Earlier this year, we had in our Wednesday evening Bible studies had gone through this chapter. And we had kind of done a study on each of these. So we'd like to just look at one this morning. There's several reasons for that. In the evangelical world, today the thought is that we are saved by faith alone. They put the word alone to it, faith alone. And we read here in Peter, these are very familiar. We were reading this every Wednesday night for a while, and so these words are very familiar to us, but you weren't all here for that. Maybe we should just read these. We read it Tuesday evening, if you remember. Brother Barry read this passage. Maybe we'll just read it here, just for an introduction. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So we read these verses on Tuesday evening. Friday morning, in our prayer meeting, we read several other verses here in the book of Peter, from 1 Peter here, 1 Peter chapter 1. We read these verses, 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See that you a love that is without pretense. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And then in chapter 4, verse 8 is another verse. Chapter 4, verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We might get back to that later. Above all things, Peter says, above all things, more importantly than anything else. Now there's a number of verses that say this in the Bible. James says this about something else. But Peter puts it at the top, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And so the thought here this morning, we will get to, we're familiar enough with the scriptures to know that 1 John, and the Apostle John said in 1 John that if we lack this, our faith is not legitimate. And we know from Paul's writing, from 1 Corinthians 13, that he says that this is at the top. This is at the top. And so, when we think of things to be rooted in Ephesians, Stephan read the verse, being rooted and grounded in love. My focus this morning is not on loving our enemies. That's another message. That's a separate topic. I had this thought this morning. It's very sobering to me that from the community where this glorious testimony came from, that all the world marveled at how they were able to forgive someone who came into their schools and started shooting and killed children, injured children. And this testimony went out of how they were able to forgive this man and forgive, and they were able to love and show love from the same community, is now the testimony of not being able to love one another. It's very sobering to me. Now there's a testimony of division. And there's probably many reasons for that. Are there any legitimate reasons for that? Sobering. Some time ago, I had a message here on overcoming offenses. And in that message, I talked a little bit about offenses in brotherhood. And I think I said that topic should be addressed further. So maybe we can do that a little bit today in this message. We'll just begin here. Let's start with a number of scriptures here that I'd like to turn to, the scriptures that you're familiar with. But if we could start in Galatians 5, we'd like to just for a foundation. So in Galatians 5, 5 verse, probably shouldn't take time to read all of this, but Galatians 5, towards the end, it talks about the works of the flesh, and then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So the point the Apostle Paul is making here is that obviously, if you're living in the flesh, these things will be coming out of your life, the works of the flesh. But he says if you're in the Spirit, we heard some about that this morning, if you're in the Spirit, this is the fruit of that. And so, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. I thought as I was reading this, I thought of preaching on gentleness. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone preach on gentleness, but it's from the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe we'll do that another time. But I'll just make the note of that, gentleness. The backing up a little bit, the verses that we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says at the end of that list that of those things that we are to add to our faith. And so it uses the term brotherly kindness and then charity. And in German, it would use the term love for both of those. It would be brotherly love, and then the second word, I'm not sure what it means, Brüderliche Liebe, and then The second term is an allgemeine Liebe, which I would think would mean love in the broader sense for everyone. But he uses love for both of those, for those of you familiar with German. But in the English, it uses the term brotherly kindness. I find that interesting, brotherly kindness. Goes along here with, I think, gentleness in the fruit of the Spirit. But we think of fruit here, so this I'd just like to start here. We think of fruit here. We look at this as if we are in the Spirit, we would expect, this is what we would expect to see, love coming forth. The Spirit of God dwelling in us should produce love, and it does. And I think we've all experienced that. I know that it was significant to me when I realized that I loved people, particularly when I began to love those that loved God, and it was just significant. It just stood out to me because I'd never had that before. That's just not how I was. I more loved to be by myself and just doing my own thing. And it was significant to me. It's something, and I think it's exciting. There's something instantaneous that happens. There's love. Maybe for the first time we experience love for others. We experience fellowship. There's something. There's this something happening between us, and it's fruit of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit of God. So there is that aspect of it. It happens automatically. It comes instantaneously. We begin to experience it. It becomes a reality to us. There's another aspect of this, which we read here in Peter, where it says, add to your faith. Add to your faith. And so there we see that love is a choice. It's not always a feeling. But that would indicate that we have the power to do that. That would indicate that though maybe it didn't happen instantaneously, that we just felt like loving this individual or whoever it is, we have the ability to choose love. We have the ability and the power. We are not being overcome by anger, and all of those things are not overcoming us, but we have the power. Two different aspects of that. I just wanted to bring that out. Fruit. It's fruit of the Spirit. We're committed. We walk in the Spirit, and we add to our faith. I think of the story, when we think about charity, we are thinking of maybe something deeper than what the world thinks about as love. We'll get to some of that later. But I think of the story of before we get to the next scripture here, I think of the story of a man and his family who were at home one evening, and it's a rainy, dark, rainy night, and there's all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and there's a someone who just was traveling. He's coming by and looking for a place to stay for the night, and he didn't look like a very wealthy man. He looked rather contrary. He looked like a poor man. He was kind of looked a little ragged and not very didn't look like the most desirable of people. And the man was, and the family was about ready to go to bed, and they, this was kind of unhandy, but, you kind of are on the spot, so you kind of have to, and so he invited him in, and as they sat there and visited, and the man said, well, I really, I could use a place to stay for the night. It's raining out and it's cold, and the man kind of begrudgingly said, well, you could sleep. Yeah, I mean, there's a place here by the fire. You could sleep here, and that'd be all right, I guess. And it was just kind of begrudging, And he And but then he thought, you know, before we go to bed, well, I probably should try to witness to this man a little bit. You know, we after all, he's here, you know. And so he begins to ask him some questions, and he asks him if he knows about God. Well, yeah, I think. And the man said, how many commandments are there? And the man said, well, isn't there 11? I think there's 11. And the man said, 11. He said, he scoffs at him, and he said, you haven't read your Bible. I mean, he asked, looks at his little son, and he says, how many commandments are there? And his boy says, 10. Well, everybody knows there's 10 commandments. And so conversation, when they went to bed, and the next morning they wake up, and the stranger had left early, and he had went on his way, and he had left a note and thanked them for their hospitality and thanked them for caring for him. And he said, he left a note that said, I did think of that other commandment that I was thinking of. He said, it's in John 13. So maybe you want to turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, this doesn't necessarily add to the 10, maybe. I think it replaces the 10. But the point was made that you would love one another as I have loved you. And I think of that this morning. The Old Testament standard was to love your neighbor as yourself. I know Jesus taught that, but it was the equivalent of the law was to love your neighbor as yourself. Basically, you would treat him the way you would want to be treated. And all these laws, if you would look at them that way, if you saw your neighbor's ox out, you would tell him about it, you'd do something about it, because that's what you would want him to do. But Jesus says here, a new commandment I have given you, that you would love one another as I have loved you. And then he says that by this testimony shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And it stirs in my heart, but our very testimony hangs on this truth, that we have the ability, the power to love one another. That we can actually do that. That we can actually have that testimony by this. So we'd like to look into it a little bit this morning. We'd like to define it this morning in just a little bit. the world's thought on love, or a worldly mentality of love, is acceptance. We just accept one another. You be how you are, and I overlook that, and we accept one another. And that's love. And we know that while that there's some truth to that, we'd like to look at something just a little deeper this morning. Love meets the need. Love reaches out to meet the need, no matter what the personal cost is, no matter what it costs me, how it affects me. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. We heard about this morning. God so loved the world that he gave. that he gave, that he gave what he had. We heard this morning that he spared not. So if we love this morning, we give. If we love this morning, we give. And sometimes that need is acceptance. And the world recognizes that. Sometimes that need is acceptance. Sometimes the need is for someone to just be accepted and to feel acceptance. The world is full of rejection. The world is full of hatred and rejection. And many times people need to feel love. They need to feel that there's a desire for them. Not an acceptance of their sin, but there's a desire, that they are desired. If that makes sense. They are desired. They are wanted. They're not being rejected. Now the world gets that mixed up and they say, well, I have to accept their sin as well because that's just who they are. Oh, we don't believe that. Sometimes the need is reproof. Sometimes that's what the need is. Sometimes the need is reproof. And if you've ever tried that, that can be very costly, personally. But love is willing to reprove, not selfishly, not in a vengeful way, not getting even with them, not telling them where they stand, but love, because there's need for it, we read in Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. Maybe we'll get to that later. But love is giving. That's what it is. Love is endeavoring to restore with a desire for restoration. I think it's one of the greatest needs in the world is that people have never experienced love. They've never experienced it. Have never experienced true love. Love someone that actually cares for them. Someone actually desires for them to prosper and to help them. The world is very selfish. There is love in the world, but most of the times it's self-based. People love one another because they're going to get something back out of it. There's something in it for me, and so therefore I'll love. Therefore I'll help someone because maybe I'll get something out of it. Even favor with God or whatever in religious circles. But love gives. Love gives. Love gives time. Many times the need is just time. It's just simply time that is needed. Love gives compassion. Love shares compassion. Love gives out the truth where it's needed. Love extends hope. In a world where a lot of people don't have much hope. You know, sometimes it may be a gospel tract, but giving takes me out of my comfort zone. Giving costs me something. Even handing someone a gospel tract can take me out of my comfort zone. They might reject it. They might throw it back at me. They might do something that they might make me feel bad. Yeah. Speaking the truth to someone. But love. John, if you want to turn the page to John 15. Add to your faith charity. Opportunities are many. Opportunities are everywhere. Opportunities surround us to love. John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You know, we speak a lot on obedience, and we believe in obeying the words of Jesus, but this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He says it here again. self-sacrificing love, not just treating your neighbor as you want to be treated and so forth, but love that gives, not expecting anything back. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Love here is, Jesus holds it up as love that will lay down my life for someone else. That will give up my comfort. I think of the illustration. I mean, we do these things many times, not even thinking about it. But getting up at night to care for a little child is a perfect illustration. Something that's not necessarily pleasing to me, but there's a need. And we do that. We don't think we're doing anything all that great, really. It needs to be done, and we do that. But it's love, and we can even do that somewhat begrudging at times, unfortunately. But doing that on an adult level, doing that for each other. We have goals and ambitions, and we have things that we aspire to, and things that may be important to us in our minds. Our schedules, you can fill in the blanks, the things that we're pushing for, things that we're trying to do, and then someone gets in the way of that. Someone has a need, there's a call for help, or there's a something that should be done, or there's a, and love. Opportunities to love are everywhere. Opportunities to love are everywhere. To lay down that which was important to me, to see someone else prosper, to help someone else take a step forward, to care for someone else. Meeting their needs. We tend to think of love in the reactive sense. Someone does something bad to you, love them in return. Someone, cuts you off, or someone, we tend to think of it in more of the reactive sense. What I'm talking about here is more the proactive. Love. Looking for opportunities. They're everywhere. Love. Love your neighbor, as Jesus has loved us. We'd like to look at several different areas here. We'd like to speak a little bit about marriage here. We'd like to speak about marriage and brotherhood, and then love in general. But love in marriage, Ephesians 5. Very familiar passage here. Ephesians 5 says here, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So here we have this same thought here, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Again, the example is Christ. Again, the example is Jesus. And love one another as I have loved you. And I don't know, I think the focus here this morning is not so much out there, but it's about those around us. It's about loving one another. And it starts at home. Love your wives. Husbands here, love your wives. It says in Timothy that the wives should be taught to love their husbands, so it goes both ways. But love your wives. And it's not, this isn't talking about, this isn't so much talking about the feelings that you have on your wedding day. I don't think that's what it's talking about here. As Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives. Give what is needed. Treat them, give them what is needed. Give them what is needed there. Give them, maybe it's time. Maybe it's care. And it's hard for me to speak on this subject without feeling some conviction, because we find ourselves very busy much of the time. But I was just, for me it was just encouraging. It's so easy to neglect the simple things with the people that are closest to us. It's so easy to, you know, we can love the neighbor up the road and do good things for him and try to reach out to him. We can do that, and we should do that. May the Lord help us do that more. But then loving those that we live with and those that we fellowship, those that are closest to us, to give them the care and the comfort, maybe help. You know, and this is not, we're not so much talking about the feelings. Feelings come. Feelings do follow all that. Colossians says, it says a strange thing in Colossians chapter 3. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, that seems like a strange thing to say. Be not bitter against them. Why would that ever happen? But I think it can. I think it can. Men are very goal-oriented. Men have a schedule. They have ambitions. They have things that they're planning to do today, and things that they're going to set out to do, and they want to get it all done. And then there's someone else that needs, maybe has other thoughts, or maybe was thinking of other things, or maybe needs some time, or maybe, and there can, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Thoughts of feeling provoked, feeling like my schedule is getting messed with here, or my goals are not going to be met, add to your faith charity. First Peter 3 says this, I know you're familiar with this, but it says that our wives should be honored as the weaker vessel. And I had to think that the whole feminist movement, what was the push behind the whole feminist movement? Was it not because for the women to try to get some honor, try to do what the men do so that we can be honored? Because after all, that's the only thing men honor, is power and strength and getting something done. And so the only way we can get any honor is if we just do what they do, I think, is what fueled that whole thing. And it ought not be so amongst us. And I trust it's not. But the scripture says here to honor our wives as the weaker vessel. They should be honored. They should be highly esteemed because their role is different than ours as men, and it should be honored. It shouldn't be looked down upon. God doesn't look down on it. It's very much a part of God's plan. So those are not new thoughts to us this morning. But it should be, our marriages, this is a subject all of its own, and probably should be given much more time than it will this morning. But our marriages should get a lot of attention from us. Our marriages, I'd like to just lift that up here this morning. Add to your faith charity at home. First of all, at home, in our marriages. The world needs to see that. Our children need to see that. There's something about, you know, I don't know what our examples have been. in the past, and all of us, some of us I know, some of us grew up in homes where there was not a maybe that relationship wasn't there, and it makes for a lot of insecurity in children, and things turn out wrong in a lot of ways. But I think of what can happen in a home. What can happen in a home where husband and wife love each other, where there's just charity. There's that desire to serve one another, to love one another, to help one another, to meet the other's needs. I think that's what love is. Love is meeting the needs of someone else, even when it's at a personal cost. It costs me something. It's not necessarily what I wanted to do right at the moment. It's right at that time. Maybe it wasn't my decision, but someone else has a need. So is someone else's need. And love serves in that way. The same thing applies in brotherhood. We'd like to speak here a little bit about love in brotherhood. Charity. If you want to turn to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13 here. Verse 9, speaking of the law here, Romans 13, verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul says here, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's very simple. I think of the simplicity of that. Paul says here, that's the summary of all the commandments. That was what God has always wanted, was that people would love one another. That people would be as he is. And so in Romans 14, so that's just before Romans 14, that's what comes into Romans 14, where Paul talks about people, brothers being offended or not trying to offend one another. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this morning, but let's see here. Let's just start reading on verse 13. Add to your faith charity. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother is stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, there's a lot that could be talked about here, and there's a lot of, we could bring a lot of hot topics or sensitive subjects into this. But to sum it up, it comes down to a very simple thing, and that's charity. It's that love seeks to not offend. Love desires to not offend or be offensive. Love is looking out for the others, right? That's what love is doing. Love is looking out for everyone else. It's not about me, after all. On the other hand, love is not offended. Love does not get offended. We'll read it here a little later in 1 John. However, if someone is offended, what is the need? Love. The only way to help someone get past the offense is with charity. They need to feel and sense charity. It's the only way to help them overcome the offense. Should they be offended? Well, no. But how to help them overcome that? The only way is with charity. I can give up because things are not where I get my life from. Things are not what gives me life. Therefore, I can give up. Therefore, I can lay it down. Therefore, I can look out, try to discern what are the needs of others. But love fulfills the law. Love, charity, is willing to give. We spoke a little bit the other morning about reproof and the need for realizing if someone brings a reproof, the need to realize that it is love. That it is love. That he does love me. That's why he's bringing the thought. That's why he's bringing the reproof. The other aspect of that is making sure that that is the case, that the reproof is being given in love. Remember that if someone is bringing a reproof, that it probably is very costly to them. That's not easy. That's not something that's easy for them to do. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 a little bit. I'd like to speak about just love in general. Love in general, 1 Corinthians 13. Very familiar. Probably many of us would have this memorized. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And I thought, as I read that, I just thought, you know, those are the foundations of many churches. That's what most people are focused on is the mysteries. Many times when it's been interesting to me. I think I even did some of this myself. But when people get converted, the tendency is to go straight to the last book of the Bible and see if we can figure it out. Or why is it at the end? it's just interesting. But that is many times the focus. And that's the focus in many churches, is understanding the deep mysteries, trying to figure out the complicated things. But though we would understand all those things and have not charity, it profiteth nothing, the Bible says. It profiteth nothing. If we can't love one another, what good does it do us to understand the book of Revelation and try to explain all those things if we can't love one another? It profiteth nothing. The focus in many churches is the tongues of men and of angels. There's the ability to speak, the ability to preach, the ability many times people are amazed at someone's ability. But if we have not charity, we have nothing. If we can't love one another. This book, it blessed me to think about 1 Corinthians 13 being written. This isn't written just to convict us of a life that we probably can't obtain. That's not why this chapter is written. There's an expectation that the people of God, those that have the Spirit of God, have the power to love, to actually have charity. That's exciting to me. I mean, we've experienced those things, and it's exciting to me. You know, the world needs to see the real thing. They need to see it. They need to see it. They need to see it in our homes. They need to see it in the church. They need to see it in our families. a love. You know, we live in a world where divorce and division is just common. It's just normal. It's just become the way that people relate to reality. That's reality for much of the world. Is just we can't get along. We can't get along. Mankind. The one song this morning spoke into that. That man is unable to get along. The government currently, I understand, is shut down because they can't get along. There's wars in various places because man can't get along. And it ought not be that way in the church. The church has the power. The church has this. Amen? Charity that suffereth long and is kind. Charity that is kind. Charity that envieth not, that vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. There's no personal ambition in the church. There's no place for personal ambition and trying to get myself ahead of the rest. The goal in charity is to get the others up in front of me, to help them prosper, no matter what it costs me. Charity vaunteth not itself, does not behave itself unseemly, is not seeking her own, is not looking. Now think of this one, is not easily provoked. It's not easily provoked. We're not easily provoked. There's not this tendency to just be provoked when someone says something I didn't really appreciate. Maybe I didn't understand it that way. I wasn't thinking of that. And I was actually thought we were really going somewhere, and then he said that, you know. And charity is not easily provoked. It's not. And I think of that in our homes, in our marriage, in our marriages. Thinketh no evil. Charity is not suspicious. We trust one another. And I would say that, you know, maybe we've experienced those things, but I think it's a powerful thing to exercise and to build on and to add to our faith is confidence in each other, trusting one another. Building that up, not thinking evil one of another, not being suspicious, we're just talking here about putting down roots this morning. Charity beareth all things. Charity hopeth all things. There's not this tendency that when there's difficult things arise, this tendency to be discouraged quickly. Like it was going so good and now. Charity hopeth all things. Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? All things work together for good to them that love God, right? So even difficult things, when we get through them, we'll be the stronger for it. We'll have gained some ground. Charity never faileth. We could spend a lot of time on a lot of these truths here, but the world is looking for places to invest that are sure, looking for places that where they can put their money that they know they won't lose it. And it says here, charity never faileth. We can invest here and it's safe. Charity never quits. Says here, charity does not rejoice in iniquity. And I'd like to go back to a verse that we read earlier in 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says that to have fervent charity among yourselves, because charity will cover the multitude of sins. And I don't know how you understand that this morning, but we know that sins need to be repented of, right? Sins need to be forgiven and dealt with. And so how does this work that we're covering sins with charity? And I don't know what you think of when you think of that, but I'll give you my explanation and then you can correct me. I don't believe that this is implying sins before God, and somehow sins between someone else and God can be taken away by our charity, by our loving them. That doesn't erase other people's sins. But the word sins has other definitions too. There's other words. There's offenses and there's faults. There's things that are done maybe between us unknowingly. Someone can say something that maybe he doesn't realize how that sounded, or he doesn't realize how that was offensive, or how that was. Maybe it can be talked about. Maybe he can, you know, be given opportunity to change it. But fervent charity thinketh no evil. Fervent charity does not suspicious of what he said. I probably could have said it differently, but charity covers a multitude of sins. We grow up in different homes, in different cultures, and we don't all do the things exactly the same. And there can be this tendency to think, well, why do they do it like that? You all from out over west probably think of that of us. There's probably things we do that you probably wonder, why do they do that? Where do they come up with that? But charity covers a multitude of sins. I see it in that context. There's opportunity. There's times for making correction if it's needed. If it's something that's inappropriate or something that's going to turn out wrong, or something that's going to lead to something bad, or you know, there's opportunities. There's many times for communicating about it. I'm not suggesting that we don't communicate about it, but not every little thing needs to bother us. Charity covers a multitude of sins. That's the way I understand that. We're not thinking suspiciously. We're not thinking evil of one another. We're not suspecting the worst. Many times that's some of how we, in some of our more traditional settings, there's this underlying mentality to suspect the worst of everyone. To suspect that if someone's doing something, they probably have a bad intention. They probably have, there's something behind it that you can't see, because everyone is, we're all sinners after all, and that's just how people are. And that charity does not do that. Charity is hoping for the best. Charity is longing to see him prosper. Charity is desiring to see the, and now we're not talking about turning a blind eye to things that should be addressed. That's not the point. Lastly here, in 1 John, charity, charity builds assurance. Charity builds assurance. We see that here in 1 John. Don't want to get too much into 1 John here. Brother Barry is going to be getting through all this. But in 1 John 3, verse 14, I remember so well when this verse spoke to me for the first time. One of those verses that the Lord used in my life. And 1 John 3, verse 14, John says here, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Charity brings assurance. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love one another. That's just powerful to me. That's just powerful. We can actually love one another. We know we've passed from death to life. We have something the world doesn't have. They're unable to do it. Chapter 4, verse 17. Love. Love brings assurance. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Reading on here, the next three verses. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Charity brings assurance, confidence before God, the ability to love one another, the ability to lay down our lives and love one another. I think we'll bring it to a close here. just the heart of the message here this morning. There's another message that can be preached about loving our enemies, and there's a lot that can be said to that, because that is a tremendous challenge to love people who are doing evil to you, to actually care for them, to pray for them, to long to see them prosper, to not hold anything against them, but be able to forgive them. There's a tremendous testimony of the power of God in that. However, there is a tendency to think of that as the pinnacle, and not realize that it may be more difficult to consistently and steadily, the word is consistently love the people that we're living with, and going to church with, and working with, and spending a lot of time with, to consistently love and to care for them, and to meet their needs, and to not ignore those around us that are in the closer proximity. So that's kind of the burden this morning. Add to your faith charity. God bless you.